Children, I got the word. Children are dismissed to Sunday school at this time.
It's good to be here. We were sitting down here and Susie's just getting all involved in the praise and worship. And she said, you know, she said, those guys are some of the best music leaders that we've seen in a long time. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But I've never heard Pastor give a word before. I spoke for you, how many years ago? Up north. But I've never heard him speak. And I want to tell you that was one of the best communion services. It was down to earth, straightforward, and the word. Amen? And what we need is what? The word. We don't need a lot of fluff, do we? We just need the word. I want to share with you, but before I do, where's my wife? When you meet her later, just say congratulations, Sue. She's been with me 50 years now. We celebrated our wedding anniversary yesterday. So I should be speaking on endurance, you know, something like that. But no, she's been a faithful wife. So, you know, thanks for hanging on there, Sue. I want to share with you this morning on a subject that I believe is important. When I minister and when I write, I always like to take people to the next step, to the next part of their life. And I think it's incredibly sad that many people get born again and then 30 years later, 40 years later, they still are where they were originally at. They haven't really grown on. And so I'm a teacher of the word, and I want to take one simple teaching this morning and share it with you. And really what I want to do, I want to catapult you into a new dimension. Wouldn't that be good? I want you to move on. I want you to think as you're sitting there that you're going to move on with me, and I'm going to teach you from the word. I'm going to teach you from maybe a little bit of culture, and I want to teach you from experience. Now, I have this little saying, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with a mere argument. And so I want to share with you some of the things that have happened to me. And the subject that I want to share about is bless and curse not. Let me read you a scripture. It's found in the book of Deuteronomy. It's good to read the word. Bless and curse not. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 2. Now it shall come to pass. I like that word shall because that's a definite. It's not a maybe or could be a possibility. God doesn't say, well, you know, if you're really good, you might get a little, you know, something from me under the Christmas tree this year. It says, now it shall come to pass. Then we've got that word, if. God says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments. See what it says? To observe carefully all of his commandments. It's important for us to read the word of God and to find out from God what he wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do, because in doing or not doing, that's going to create a blessing for us as his kids. It says, which I've commanded you this day, that the Lord your God will, that's a definite like shall, he will set you high above the nations of the earth, and all, everybody say all, these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I like that too. See, I believe that God wants to bless you. And with us, Susie blesses us every day that we're alive. But not only does he bless us for today, he sends blessings before us and they overtake us so that when we get to the shopping center or when we go on a holiday like Pastor, I don't, what's the word holiday mean again? What's that? It's a holiday, isn't it? And so it doesn't matter what you're doing, where you are, or who you're with, God says not only are there blessings around you, but there's a pile of blessings down the road waiting for you to turn up because, oh, there's that word, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. There is a difference. Honey, I think I've got your glasses here. I'm seeing two messages. Oh, no, that's right. There's a difference between a gift and a blessing. Some of us have the attitude that these are the same thing, but they're not. They're totally two different words. Now, let me tell you about a gift. A gift is something that you receive free of charge. In the biblical sphere, salvation is one of those things. God gives you salvation. He's not knocking on your door tomorrow to repossess it. It's yours for good and forever. Then God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. The Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And then we have healings. There's the gifts of healings. And so all these are freebies that God wants to bestow upon you. But a blessing is contractual. That's sad, isn't it? It means you've got to connect the dots to get it. It means you've got to do something to bring that into your being or lifestyle. It's contractual. Let me read you another little scripture here. You see, some people, can I ask this congregation to be like down to earth right now, just sort of put your spirituality to one side and be honest with me. How many people could do with a little bit more money? Come on, Susie, get that hand up. Two hands, you. You could do with a bit more money. I'll tell you why you need more money, because you're going to get an electricity bill that was bigger than last year, a rates bill bigger than last year, and probably pay more for petrol today than you paid for it yesterday. Yep. Right? Everything's going up, so therefore the world rotates around finances. So there are two ways to get money. Can I use a four-letter word? Work. Anybody heard of that? I have this attitude. If you don't have a job, you've got a job 40 hours a week looking for a job. But the first way to get money is go and work. But there's another way in God to get money, and that's to give to the poor. The Bible says, the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 17, he who has pardon me, pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay back that which he has given. God will never, ever be in your debt. God says, the more you give, the more I'm going to give to you. You shovel out with a big shovel, I'm going to fill up the hole with a bulldozer. That's what God says. God will never be indebted to you. Am I saying that the right way, indebted to you? Yeah. So what you've got to do, you've got to, if you want to be blessed, you've got to read the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. This verse is imperative for your physical, mental, and your spiritual survival. If you want to survive, then you know what you've got to do? You've got to go give to the poor. That's the bottom line. You've got to go give to the poor. Susie and I, we've given to the poor of our lives. We went to New Guinea as missionaries for 4 years. We never took a salary for 4 years, did we, Sue? Or a little bit at the end. They didn't pay our way there. We went to Africa. We've sent a container full of goods for Africa. And you know, God just says, it doesn't matter how much you give, I'm going to give back more. I'm just going to give back more. But you don't give so that you get back more. You give because you want to bless the poor. That's what you do. And so we have lived a life of blessing. Now, there's another scripture here. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 28, the Bible says, bless them that curse you. Jesus said, bless them that curse you. Now, you know there's a lot of people out there that put you down. They say bad things about you, especially people at work. They want your position, so they want to give you the left foot of fellowship. They want to stamp you down. God says, don't get angry with those people. Bless them. The more you bless, the more you're going to grow. Because it's a spiritual, what's the word I'm looking for?
Principle.
This guy's got so many good words. I was listening to him, I'm thinking, how did he get all that in his brain so fast? I got to think about things. It's a spiritual principle to give to the poor. But he said, bless and curse not. This is not a suggestion by Jesus, it's a commandment. God's not saying, hey, listen, guys, I don't know if this will work or not, but, you know, why don't you try giving to the poor? That might help you out with your rent. God doesn't say that. God says, this is going to happen. If you do this, if you obey my commandment, this is going to happen. Then Paul comes along and Paul says, bless and curse not. Bless and curse not. I want to read you a scripture. It's found in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verses 1 to 2. And if, while you're going to there, let me give you a little bit of background. The children of Israel, they'd been in Egypt for over 400 years. They were slaves. They'd been beaten down. Their kids had been killed and thrown into the river there, the River Nile. They weren't their own people. They were slaves. Then they cried out to God. They said, God, help us. So now God sends Moses, and Moses comes down, and they do all the plaguey things, you know. And then Moses takes the children of Israel for the first time in over 400 years. They leave Egypt as free people, and all of a sudden they come to the river Red Sea, and it's full of water. And they look around, there's a cloud of horses and chariots coming with the Egyptians on it. And they cry out to God and Moses. And Moses says, Lord, what am I going to do now? And God says, lift up your rod. And he lifts up his rod and the water opens. And they walk through, not on muddy ground because God's got everything right, walk through on dry ground. When they get over, Moses lifts up the rod and water comes down and all the enemy are drowned. Now, what do you think? If you were there, what would you do that afternoon? Do you think you'd do a bit of a song and dance act? Do you think you'd praise the Lord? Do you think you'd be overjoyed? You know, you would be. You know. But not these Jews. All right? Let me tell you, they were weirdos. You might say, you can't say that. Yes, I can, because both my grandmothers are Jewish. So I can say, I can't say this about other nations, but the Jews were a bit weird. Let me read you what it says. This is on the banks of the Red Sea, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried. What a bunch of whingers. And all the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God that we would die in this wilderness. Here's God talking about salvation. Healing, because not one person left Egypt sick. All the blind eyes were open. All the crippled legs were now walking, probably jogging across over between the walls of the sea. God had good things in mind for the people, and what'd they do? They cried. They just whinged. They said, "Would to God that we had died back in the world. Would to God that we would die now. We don't want to go forward." How sad was that? They said, we wish we were dead. And the devil said, I could accommodate you with that because I've got a portfolio in death, murder, and theft. And if you read a little bit further down, you'll see that God says in the book of Numbers 14, 28 to 32, as you have spoken in my ears, so be it unto you. The Jewish people spoke into existence their future. They really prophesied in a negative way what was going to happen to them before they got to the promised land. They said, we wish we were dead. Some years ago, Susie and I were asked to go to New Zealand and minister, and I think all up we were there for 12 weeks. We ministered every single night in a different town for 12 weeks. And when we got picked up from the airport, there was a man who picked us up, and I call him my Christian chauffeur. He was taking us from the airport to the first town, which was a long way away. Do we have any New Zealanders here today? God bless you, brother. We were going where they hang boots over the wires. What was that place, sir? Thai Happy. And so I got there, I was a bit Thai sad, because I listened to this guy all the way, negative guy, negative, negative, negative. And finally, we came into this motel and parked the car, and I'm about to get out, and this man opened his mouth and said these words. My feet are killing me, and I'm dying for a cup of tea. I thought, how negative was that? He went in and made a cup of tea and drank it. I went across the road and I bought from a little newsagent there one of those little fold-up little books with the little spirals on the top and a pen. And all the time we were there, I kept that there. And when I heard one of these New Zealand people say a word with death, die, or dead in it, I'd pull it out and I'd write it there. I filled up the whole book. I thought, what a negative way to talk. These people were saying things like, you kids will be the death of me. I wouldn't be seen dead in that dress. I have a dead-end job. Do we talk that way here in Australia? Of course we do, because when I came home, you know what I did? I got another book and I put it in my pocket and I wrote down what the Australians say, and I needed two books because we're worse. We got more people. So then you know what I did? I went and bought a third book because I believe in balance. You believe in balance? I got the third book. I put it there and I wrote down all the cliches or all the sayings we use with the word life in it. I only got three. Life sucks. Oh, that's life. And I don't know, something. Life's a beach or something, you know. I don't know. Isn't that sad? We need to, when we get born again, we come out of the kingdom of darkness, and the language there is darkness, but when we meet Jesus, he steps us over the line into the kingdom of his of light, and things change at the border. When you get born again, you've got to change the way you speak. You've got to stop those names. I went to Alice Springs one time, and family took me in, and the guy was there, and he said, my wife will be here in an hour, and we're sitting down talking, and the wife came in, and he yelled out, is that you, Bad Ears? I mean, fancy calling your wife a bad name. Is that you, Bad Ears? I thought, that's sad. Well, anyway, let me tell you, she flew away with another guy. And then, of course, we have people that say things like, I'm sick and tired of this, and I'm sick and tired of that. And then they wake up in the morning, and they're trying to figure out why God made them sick and tired. God doesn't make you sick and tired. My God's a God of blessing. My God is a God of healing. My God is a God of salvation. And so God wants you to partnership with him so that you can be on the same wavelength as Jesus. One time I was ministering in Melbourne and a young lady came up and she said, Pastor Greg, she said, what you're teaching is true. I said, do you have an experience? She said, yes. She said, my mother used to always, constantly call us kids, you're nothing but little pains in the neck. And she says, all of us, the three daughters, all suffer a medical problem with a pain in the neck. Susie and I, when we came home from Papua New Guinea as missionaries, Susie said, what are we going to do now? So just so that you know, I don't have an education. I have really no schooling. And I know nothing about universities. But my dad told me that if you want to do something, put your hand to it and work, it'll work. So I said to Susie, I think I might go into photography. And so we started a photographic company and everything went well. And then one day, a pastor came and knocked on my door and said, what are you doing in business? And I said, making money. And he said, but what about your ministry? I said, well, God's called me to ministry and I'm going to go back into ministry down the road. He said, but you put your whole effort into photography and money. And that seems to be the love of your life now. And I said to the pastor, I said, that business, photography business can burn down tonight for all I care. And it did that night. We lost everything in a fire. And you know what the devil said? I can accommodate you with that because I got a degree in arson. A degree in arson. God wants us, number one, to know his word. Number two, to act upon his word. I don't believe See, I believe that God has our best interest at heart. I don't believe that God turns around and says, oh, well, any meeny, miny, miny, I'll touch him today. I believe God's blessings are over all of us, but what we do, we bring those blessings in and they move upon us because we obey the voice of the Lord. One of the things we need to do, we need to be reading God's word. I believe God's word is to be read, believed, and obeyed, full stop. I don't believe it needs to be disputed. I don't believe it needs to be argued about. And don't take me wrong, do I believe in prayer? Yes, I do. But I don't believe you need to pray about some of the commandments in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not. I've met people like that. I have a diploma in counseling now, and I meet some funny people along the way. In the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 24 to 25, Jesus is taken off to meet Pilate. Before I read the scripture, I want you to know that Pilate was a legal judge. And Jesus stood in a legal court, and the court of that day would hear fors and against. And if the person was found not guilty, they would take the chains off, open the door, and the person was set free. You with me on that? Bit the same as today, isn't it? You know. And so here we find Jesus is before Pilate. And in Matthew 27, verses 24, it says, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, that was because all the people out there were against him. They wanted Jesus to be crucified. But rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this, what person? Just person. Jesus was found not guilty in a legal court of law by a legal judge, but they still crucified him. Do you know what that is? That's called murder. The Jewish people murdered the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate said, I'm not having anything to do with this. I know what you're going to do anyway. You're going to take him out and kill him. And I wash my hands of this innocent man's blood. And all the people answered and said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. What a stupid thing to say. Oh, my wife says, Susie's English. She talks different. Really, what an incredibly stupid thing to say, especially when they knew the word of God. They've been taught the word of God since knee high to a grasshopper. They knew the word of God. And there's a law in the Word of God. It's called a law of a sin unto death. It's in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament. It was a law for the Jews. And that law meant if you took the blood of an innocent person and you murdered them, then your blood can be taken from you as well. Like an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Kill an innocent person, you will die. They said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. That's the words that came out of their mouth. Do you ever say words that you knew or you know that you should have never have said? You know. Let me tell you about all the other churches in Brisbane. They need to be blessed by you. If you're in business and there's opposition there, guess what you do? You bless them. You don't try and do nasty things to pull them down. What you do, you bless them, and in blessing them comes a blessing upon you, and it will overtake you, and you will be the kingpin in town. Every time, God will not let you down. But Jesus goes off to Calvary. He takes the cross with him. He's got it on his back. He's going down the road. And the Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Luke, that the women were on both sides and they were weeping. And Jesus put the cross down and he said to the women, weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children. Remember that's what they said at the court case? Let his blood be upon us and our children. And the devil said, I can accommodate you with that because I'm into death. That's what he does. The devil's not running around trying to kill Christians. He's running around trying to kill everybody. He wants everybody to be sick. He wants God's creation to fail, but it's not going to fail because God gave Jesus all power. And some of that power, Jesus took earth's portion of power with him at the ascension, but he left earth's portion of power with us. We have the power of God. It says in Luke chapter 23:28, but Jesus turning unto them said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. I have the attitude that if you sow a curse, you're going to reap a disaster. Don't put down your next door neighbor. Don't put down your boss. Don't put down the church down the road. Don't put down your pastor. I have a lot of people say, Pastor Greg, can I talk to you privately over here? But yeah, but don't talk to me about your pastor. Oh, well, I've got nothing to say to you. I know your pastor. He's a good man. I know Pastor David here. He's a good man too. But I have to tell you, he's made a few failures. A bit like Abraham, David. Solomon made 1,000 mistakes. You know what I mean? Everybody blows it. What we've got to do is stand behind people, build them up. That's our ministry, to bless one another. Some time ago, Susie and I were pastoring a church in the Northern Territory, and we had a small congregation. I mean, much, much smaller than this. And we were renting a high school gymnasium. They were charging us $1,000 for Sunday morning money. We're talking 35 years ago. And I felt, well, God wants us to have our own little place to save us money. So I spoke to the Lord, and the Lord said to me, draw up a because I'm a carpenter by trade, draw up a design. I drew it up, and the Lord said, not good enough, draw it bigger. So I drew it bigger, and he said, not, I think five times, bigger, 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 you know. And I thought, Lord, this is going to cost a lot of money. He said, that's not your concern. I said, well, what's my concern? I'm the pastor of these people. What we had then was a few families and a whole bunch of students at university. I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'll tell you now, as I stand here now, God said to me, go and bless this community. Go and bless every single business in this community. And if you do that, if you honor my word, I'll honor my word to you. So I got in my car, and for the next 2 years, I drove around the city of Darwin doing whatever I had to do. And I'd always have the window down with my hand out. I'd bless every business. I bless the banks. I bless government agencies. I bless the steel company, the brick company, the glass company, the electric company, the light company, the plumbing. I bless them all. Just bless them. Day after day after day. And I never went in and said, hi guys, I'm blessing you. I hope you can help me down the road where I need to build a building. Never said a thing, because the Bible says if we do things in secret, the Lord will reward us openly. And so after 2 years of blessing people, the Lord said, it's time to build the church. Time to build the church. So I went and got a list of things we needed for the plumbing, because when you build, the first thing you need to put in is the plumbing under the concrete. So I went down to a plumbing company. They didn't know who I was. I'd prayed for them probably 100 times. I never told them I'd been praying for them. And I took this list and list and list and list of stuff that we needed, everything for plumbing. And I gave it to the manager and I said, I'd like to get these. I have a truck here to take them now. So he got his men and they went around, they got every single thing out, put it on the truck, piled the truck up. Now I had to go down and pay for it. I had my checkbook in my pocket and the cost of the gear was about $22,000, $23,000, which is a lot of money. When we'd finished building our church without the land, without the youth hall, without the carpet, without the chairs, without the air conditioning, the bank valued our building at $2 million 35 years ago. And I didn't have $350,000. Had no money, really. So I walked up to this guy and he got everything out for me, the plumbing company, put it on the back of the truck, and they're tying it down. And a lady comes in the office running up and she says to the manager, I've got this very important phone call for you. You have to take it now. So I'm standing next to him and he's talking to the man on the phone, but he can't stop talking and he's getting really excited and he's sort of going like this, you know, and it appeared that he won a big government contract worth millions and he couldn't just put the guy off. So he turned and he said to me, look, I'm sorry about this. Just take the stuff and go home. It's yours. How good is that?
Hallelujah.
We started off with not 1 cent paying out. We got nearly everything in the church free of charge. Never told anybody what we needed. I would have people ringing me up saying, please, can you come and pick up some stuff? We've got stuff at one time. Thank you very much. One time, the phone rang, and I said to Susie, I've got to go out and get some doors today. Oh. Susie's up the back going like this. We have what I call a signs and wonders ministry. Susie's doing always signs. I'm always wondering what she's trying to tell me. All day yesterday, she was going like, wedding anniversary present, you know. So the phone rings one morning and I just said to Susie 2 minutes before, we need to go out and buy 26 doors. She said, have your breakfast first. So when breakfast finished, the phone rings and a man on the other end of the phone says, can I speak to Mr. Greg Bedell? I said, speaking. The man says, I'm from what we call government stores. Government store. Darwin is a city full of government buildings. We've got Army, Air Force, Navy, two tank divisions. Everything is government controlled. And before you can add to a building or take away from a building, you need to get a contract and a government order. So they said to me, this man said to me, he said, I'm the manager of the government stores and we have 26 doors down here and we don't have any paperwork on it. Now we heard you're building a church. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you know, we don't have anywhere to send these. They're in the way. It's costing us money moving it backwards and forwards. If you come down now, we will give you the 26 doors. So I said, I'll be there before you can close, put the phone down. So I went down, picked up the doors, took them back to the church, and I carried them in, and I put the doors in near every hole. Then I came out into the main auditorium, and being Darwin, we had louvers all the way around and glass for airflow because it gets very hot up there. And I'm standing there, and I see this car drive past, and this car has a sign on the side, and it says door hanger. Now, just so that you ladies know, a door hanger is a man who puts doors into frames. It's not one of those little clips you put on to hang up your nightie or something in your dressing gown, okay? And this car, a van drives by with door hanger on it, And I didn't have to pray about where he's going. I already knew. Sometimes you get this knowing that you know in your spirit. And he turned around the corner in our drive, and he walked in. He said, "Can I talk to the boss?" I said, "He's not here yet, so you have to deal with me, because you know who the boss is, don't you?" And so anyway, he said, "Look, I put doors on, and today is the only day in my entire career that I've had no work. And I don't want to sit home watching Jerry Springer or some of these lady shows. I want to do something. Are you a not-for-profit organization?" I said, "Yes, that's what the government calls us." And he says, "Do you mind if I put your doors on for you?" I said, "Yes." So I took him around. I showed him every hole and every door. And someone had already given us all the hinges, all the barrel locks, everything. They were all donated to us. And so I said, "Here they are." And I said, "But there's one more door." Now, this door was different than the other doors. It was a more solid door. And it had an area cut out with a rebate to put a piece of glass in it. And I put that between our mother's room and our lady's toilets, you know. So I said, "Oh, this one goes this way." And he looked at it. And then he said to me, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Where did you get these doors?" I said, "Government Stores gave them to me this morning." "Why do you ask?" He said, "I've just come from Government Stores and everybody's looking for my 26 doors. One man in the whole city. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Isn't that what it says? And I was very apologetic. I said, "Sir, I'm so sorry that they gave me your doors." He said, "Don't be sorry. I just sold them another 26 doors. God's not against the businessman out there. God just loves to share with his saints. So at the end of the day, we basically got everything for nothing. We built a church for $140,000. With a 600 seating capacity. And all the chairs, nice, comfy theater chairs. And I did pay for those. I did. You have to pay for some things, don't you? They were worth, at that time, I think $135, $140 each. We got them for 50 cents. We got all of our carpet. $25,000 worth of carpet for only $2,000. I would get phone calls. "Can you please come and pick up this and can you pick up that? We've got somebody coming in Adelaide or Melbourne has sent you this." And I go down and it's what we're praying for. I want you to know God is no respecter of persons. God says, "I will do for you what I did for them." And God wants you to be blessed. But there's a key to blessing. And that means if you want to be blessed, you got to bless. If you want to be loved, you got to love. If you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive others. That's just the principle from the Word of God. Now, there's another scripture that I'd like to read to you. And it's found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 29 to 30. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, were not faith people, and they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. You don't want to get yourself caught in a wilderness. You got to get into the promised land, don't you? Now, the children of Israel, they came up to the Red Sea. Moses had led them for 40 years, and I believe that Moses was one of the greatest leaders that the world had seen. And they parked their tents next to the Jordan River. They're about to go over, but Moses sits there and he does a few little things. He writes the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy was written on Moses' 120th birthday. And he wrote that book in one day. It's a one-day writing. And in those writings, at the beginning of the book, in Deuteronomy 11:29-30, it says, "Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessings on Mount Gerizim and the curses upon Mount Ebal." Pardon me. "Are they not on the other side of the Jordan towards the setting of the sun?" God said, "Before we cross over, I want for you to take some men, some to go to Mount Gerizim and some to go to Mount Ebal, and they are to take their little chisels and hammers, and on Ebal they are to engrave on the rocks every one of the curses. And then I want you to send another six men to Mount Gerizim and to engrave onto them." Did they put those up? No, I thought they put the sign up. "All of the blessings." So they did that because God wanted the people to understand the blessings. He wanted the mums and dads to take the kids up into those mountains. They weren't high mountains. They're not big hills with a town in between. He wanted the mums and dads to go up and have a lamb barbecue and then teach the kids the word. It's important for you to teach the kids the word. You might say, "My grandkids are now kids, but my kids are growing up." Teach them the word. Teach your nephews and nieces the word. We just had two Japanese girls yesterday turn up from Japan for 2 days. Didn't they, sir? I'm upstairs getting dressed. Susie's down having breakfast. And these Japanese girls hardly speak English. And Susie's giving them a word about how Jesus died for them on the cross. They may not remember that, but one day it may come back to their remembrance. Susie goes out and shares the word with everybody. She gets people all around our neighborhood, from the bowls club to the gym, from walking around the street, from coffee shops. The man who came in to find some white ants got born again. He's coming into the down to the house, to the door, and he's never been to church before. His mother is a Buddhist. His father was a Catholic. He'd never been to a Catholic church. Wasn't interested in God. He's walking down the path, and the Lord says to him, "You will not leave this house like you came." And you go, "Whoa, what was that? Who said that?" And the Lord said, "You will not leave this house like you came." But Susie Q, she's in behind the door saying, "Lord, there's a white ant man coming. Give me a word for him." And he gets saved. Within one day, he's moving in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. In one day, he's getting words of knowledge. In one day, he's praying for all of his clients and getting them saved. Had hundreds born again. Within what? 1 year, he was in Bible school. He went and bought the whole Bible on LP record. He says, "I listen to it as I'm looking for ants." He says, "I'm addicted to the word." How many are addicted to the word today? You got to get your kids addicted to the word. My dad taught me the word of God. When I was 8 years old, we got born again under the ministry of Old Roberts. He comes home, newborn Christian, wouldn't even know that Genesis was in the Bible. He just knows that he's a Christian. And the pastor said to him, "You got to give your children the word." Now, you all know Luell here. Luell's dad was our pastor. Luell's dad married us, didn't he, sir? My dad didn't know the word of God, so he went down, he bought the whole book, the whole Bible, an LP record, the whole Bible. You know those big records you place flying saucers with now? Whole Bible. Gives it, buys it, and he puts it on every day. I got to listen to a book of the Bible every day for years and years and years. Psalms was a very long day. Moses sends 12 guys out into the two mountains and graves them all. Then it says in Deuteronomy 27 to 11 to 14, and Moses commanded the people on the same day. Hear that? On the same day? Like in 11, chapter 11, chapter 27, same day. Saying, and these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan, Levi, Simon, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad. There are the two mountains. A mountain with curses on it and a mountain with blessings on it. The name Ebal in the Jewish language means bald mountain. It wouldn't grow anything. It was covered with curses. Even today, people, when they go and visit those towns, feel sorry for poor old Mount Ebal, and they'll go buy a pot plant and carry it out with some Osmocote and plant it and water it, and it comes up, grows a flower, then it dies, and the seeds blow over to Mount Ebal and they grow. What, Gerizim? Yeah, sorry, brother. Normally Susie's there correcting me. Susie has the ministry of correction. Are you with me? If God will bless two mountains, one mountain he blesses and the other one's cursed, how much will God bless you? Hallelujah. But you've got to get the key in the door. You've got to change your stinking thinking. You've got to have a checkup from the neck up. You've got to open your mouth with words of blessing. Stop saying negative things to your wife. Bless her. Some people say, what's that? Now you've got to do it with your kids. You've got to do it with the people around you. You need to walk up to your pastor every so often and say, Pastor, you're a great pastor. Don't listen to the guy in the row over there. You need to listen to the word. This is a great church. Amen. We're not better than any other church because other churches have got his saints in it too. God wants you to be blessed. How many people would like a blessing this morning? Stand. If you want a blessing, just stand up with me just for 2 minutes. I want to reach my hand out. God, I speak over your people. I call them blessed. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that we're to call those things that be not as though they were. Some of you people are out there thinking, oh, gee, I wish I had that life. Let me tell you now, I am getting rid of the negative and I'm speaking positive things over you. I'm speaking positive health, positive life, great marriage, great finances. Everything that you touch will be blessed. And if you speak that out, if you go home tonight and say, I am blessed, you get up in the morning, say, I am blessed, my family is blessed, my children are blessed, my business is blessed, my job is blessed, I will tell you now, it will be as you have spoken. You are prophesying over your own future. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Sit down for a minute. I'll just show you a couple of things. I know, how many people have any of our books? A couple there. The thing I speak the most and what I spoke on the last time I was here was on health. I teach on health more than anything. And I've spoken at seminars just for doctors, surgeons, and professors of medicine. Do you have my books?
Yeah.
You do? You like?
I should read them again.
You should read them again. You should. And I've also done a book on the healing of cancer. It's up the back. It's got 7 testimonies of 7 people healed of terminal cancer. And you can look at that. But the book I spoke on this morning is this book here called Bless and Curse Not. I have a section in here just about businesses, you know, businesses. There was a guy in the Bible called Philemon, and he had a servant boy called Onesimus. And when they got a servant in those days, they'd buy him at the slave market, they'd change their names. They didn't allow them to have their original name. And the word Onesimus basically means to be blessed. and to be prosperous. So when this man called his slave, he didn't say, hey, you lazy bag of bones. He called him, you're blessed and prosperous. You're blessed and prosperous. And that young man, he just did so well. And that's what you do with people who work for you. You tell them they're doing a good job. I'll tell you what, they'll work time and a half, longer hours, for less money, because they feel happy where they are. So that book there is called Bless and Curse Not. I only spoke on a tiny little bit of it, but if you want to see that. But what Susie wanted me to show you today, it's so close to Christmas. Did you know that? It's already December. We have a bunch of books here that are great for Christmas presents. This one here, does anybody know Cole Stringer? Well, Cole and I were partners in business for 14 years, and we pastored a church for 10 years together. This is a little cartoon book we did with a lot of little statements under it. This is an African man with his wife in a pot cooking it for lunch. It says, keeping your wife in hot water will never make her tender. This one here says, the best way to turn your wife on is turn the vacuum cleaner first. Susie's favorite one is over here. If you treat your wife like a thoroughbred, she won't act like a nag. All right? So they're up the back, and Susie does all the discounting. I don't, because I'm Jewish by birth. Some people got that the last time we were here. It's a beautiful journal. It's embossed, beautifully coloured. We got a blue one for guys, because guys don't like pink. And it starts off, write the vision for people who need to be born again. And then you've got scriptures here and a quote down here, every page. And then here, if you know somebody that needs a healing, put their name down. And then put a scripture down, put their phone number down, put their birthday down. I rang up a guy yesterday. He left the ministry a year ago. And I just rang him up, and I knew he'd left the ministry, and I said, I just want to bless you. He said to me, you're the first person in a whole year ever to ring me up. I ring up people all over who've been in the ministry. They're not in the ministry now for one reason or another. I just bless them. And so that goes all through your family. Like, you know, you got a daughter, don't wait till she comes in with a guy with noses through his ears, eyes, and everywhere. Put it before the Lord now to find the right man. And then, oh, that's $10. And so is the guy's one. They're normally $25. Then we have these two. This is one Susie did. That's full of wonderful scriptures. That's one I did. This has got quotes in it. Susie's got lovely scriptures. It's just like that. A coffee table book, what one generation tolerates, the next generation accepts. It's just got great for granddads, you know. If you think education is expensive, you should try ignorance. This book here is a real, real go at the moment. It's a book that my daughter and I took 2 years to put together. It's called Bible Fact or Fiction. And it's worth $25. We're selling it for $10. And it goes through a subject every double page, like the ark, and it proves the ark through archaeology. Dinosaurs and dragons, Tower of Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah. It goes all the way through the plague. Here, there's on both sides of the Red Sea, they've now found two big columns, and there's, I lost my glasses. Oh, here they are. Those columns talk about Moses, but it says, in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its borders. And they've now found that. So it goes all the way through the Bible, and that's great. That's not great. We've got little kids' books, go look at those. They're lovely books for kids. And then I've got my chart here. Some of you got the chart last time we were here. Anybody seen that? It's called a Dunny Door poster. put up on your door, you have visitors who aren't Christians. They sit around for a while. Nothing to read, no words on the roll, but they get the word. We've had people about to kill themselves and somebody gave them that and they came to Jesus. All right? So there's three of those. Pastor, thank you very much. God bless you all. I pray that every one of you will be totally, absolutely, abundantly blessed. Thank you. I brought my wife's watch up to see the time, but I never looked at it.
Let's be upstanding.